All right. I'd like to call the meeting to order and welcome everybody to our March 22nd, 2018 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Thank you, Tri-Academy, for hosting us. We're excited to be here. And we'll start with the roll call, please.
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Next, if everybody will stand up and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, can I have a motion to adopt our agenda tonight?
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we have a couple employees of the month to recognize. I don't believe either of them are here, but we do want to recognize them, so I will turn it over to you. Do you want to read about them, or
do you want to do that, or do you approve them first, or just go?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We do need a motion first to approve these two employees of the month. Okay.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Powers and second by Ms. Savage. Now, thank you.
Perfect. The first employee of the month is Ann Leonard at Navin Elementary School, who is the secretary. And I'm just going to read the comments that their peers wrote about them in order to nominate them for this honor. Ann is one of the most caring people I know. Every day, I see her not only doing her assigned job, but also taking on the job of loving each and every one of our students. She takes on challenges with a smile and does her absolute best to take care of every situation she is handed. I cannot count the times that she has handled frustrated parents with ease and kindness. She continuously gives love and attention to kids that crave it here at school. She is an outstanding secretary and keeps the school running with ease and happiness. I highly recommend Anne for this award. So congratulations, Anne.
And if anybody has ever been to Navin,
they would know that's
true. That's totally true. Yep, yep. She's got a wonderful smile, and yep, she's great.
And then also Candy is at Mill Valley in secretary position as well. So let's see. Candy works closely with all other school employees and administrators to ensure best practices are met, and Mill Valley stays on top of the district with procedures, updates, and compliance. She's a wonderful balance of a friendly, caring coworker and advisor to other staff. She willingly jumps into any situation that needs attention. Best of all, she meets each situation with a sweet smile on her face and a welcoming heart to all the students that walk through the door of our elementary school. So congratulations to Candy Weichel as well.
Thank you very much. Okay. Any other comments? Oh, okay. Then roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and we thank them and congratulate them for being recognized by their peers. Next up, we have a very special recognition for one of our bus drivers. He's a substitute bus driver, Gary Labaster, and I'm sure everybody is aware of the accident that we had back on December 8th. And so today, we have Dave Burke here to present something to Gary. So, Mr. Burke.
Thank you for having me at this evening's meeting. As you know, I think heroes come in all shapes, sizes, and occupations. And some people, I think, pick occupations that maybe put themselves to be more likely to be a hero than others. And to me, greatness often comes when average people do the unexpected. When I read, when I got home in the evening about what happened when you were driving the bus, Gary, I spent a lot of time driving around the state. I thought about you going down 71 and the speed you were going and the speed the semi-truck must have been going and the impact on those children and your ability, although injured, to maintain control of that bus and get to the side of the road. And I thought about my kids and I thought about how that story could have been written so much differently. And that all boiled down to one person who did one great, amazing thing at the right time. So when I got back down to Columbus, I talked to some of my colleagues, and I wanted to present you with a resolution. A lot of times we do accommodations, which are kind of thank you type things. And I don't do a lot of those either. As a matter of fact, this is only the third resolution that I've done. They get journalized into Ohio history. So someone could go back and Google your name and actually find this in there. The other two that I did were actually for members of the armed forces who gave the ultimate for our country. That's how rare I think this is. So to me, what you've done for our community, and when average people do great things, I just couldn't let that go unrecognized, because you are truly one of the heroes among us. So on behalf of the state of Ohio, the Ohio Senate, and the president of the Senate, Larry Alhoff, I want to present you and your family with this resolution on behalf of our state, and let you know what an honor it is to live in a community with people like you who do the unexpected when it's needed the most. Absolutely. Thank you.
Certificate of Excellence to award to you as well in recognition of outstanding safety and service to students on December 8th, 2017.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before I do every trip, I always say a prayer to God to help me to bring the kids home safe. And I don't think I could have done this without God's help on that day.
Thank you.
I think we should just adjourn the meeting.
I know.
Yeah. Well said.
I know.
Well said.
Well, now we have another, I think, very exciting section of our meeting coming up as well, and that is our presentation from Tri-Academy High School. So, Ashley.
Okay, so I brought some guests with me.
Great.
Okay, so when I was thinking about our presentation to the board tonight, I wanted to just give you a quick overview of, you know, our demographics so far, kind of our student profile. So if you look at the screen there, it's kind of small, I guess, you can see we started the year with about 57 kids that we invited, because we were at 16. We had trouble engaging about three kids because they were kind of transient. So we started with about 57 kids. You can see the male to female breakdown there. So it was more boys than girls, but about two-thirds boys, one-third girls. And they came to us with an invitation because either they were behind on their credits, which we would call overage undercredited. So they had a deficiency in credit compared to certain thresholds that they were supposed to be at according to the grade level. And then there was also some unique needs. So maybe some kids had some really high anxiety that they were battling, or just a circumstance or situation that needed just a little extra TLC. So we invited those kids as well through our guidance counselors. So this is where we started the year. As you can see, that number grew to 72. So we've interacted with about 72 kids total this year. We did have a couple, if you see the unengaged list, a couple, a little trouble engaging just those kids that we were trying to find at the beginning of the year. One kid changed placement per his IEP, but otherwise everyone has sustained. So you can kind of see those numbers there. And you might say, well, I thought you only had 60 kids. So we'll talk about that in a minute. And I'm not going to talk too long because I'm going to turn it over to the kids to tell their story. I just wanted to give a quick snapshot because measures of success are really important to me. And they're also qualitative and quantitative. So this is a quantitative measure that I use to tell our story of success. We have had 43 students from the beginning of the year till current, still in program, and they've earned an average of 5.2 credits. We had 15, on top of that, 15 early completers, which were here just part of the year, and that was just about one semester. They earned 6 credits in a semester. If you look to the right, it says 2 to 3 credits earned per year on average, which means they didn't earn 6 credits at ever in a year. So they were earning that over the course of 3 years, 6 to 9 on average. There were some kids who came with 0.5 credits or no credits. So to me, this is a really strong story. And all of our seniors, besides one student who just came from ECOT because she found herself out without a school, should be on track for graduation. So we're meeting all of our goals, which is awesome. If everyone, if they're juniors. Stay so smart. If everyone's
staying. Pressure's on, right?
And then, so since we had 15 early completers, that opened some seats for new students to join us, and guidance kept kind of a watch list of kids who might be a good fit for Tri Academy. So we've engaged, since the start of the year with our 57 students, 11 new to fill the seats that have been unoccupied by our early completers. And we don't have data on them because they just started in January, so they're at like 1 to 2 credits per student, but we wanted to give them an ample effort to get through their courses. So we'll have data at the end of the year on how that's going if you enroll in the middle of the year. So I talk about measures of success, and these are kind of the measures that I like to look at. And it's all about the kid. They're who we value and they're who we're invested in, so it really matters to me what they think about their experience here as well as their achievement. So I look at student sense of community, student sense of hope and belonging, and student achievement, and I do that not only looking at credits and testing scores and all of that, but I also ask for their feedback all the time. It's constant, it's ongoing. So we at Tri Academy, Mr. Craig is one of our fabulous teachers and Ms. Hinder is the other, and they're fantastic. And they get the thing that's most important right, and that's relationships with kids. So we value that greatly, and I'm gonna turn it over to the kids to talk about that a little bit. So, community and relationships. Mr. Zane, our tall guy over here, entered Tri Academy with 0.5 credits as a junior. He is actually back on track to graduate with currently 11.5 credits completed, which is amazing. One of our greatest students. And he's not done because he's still progressing in 3 core courses, 1 elective credit. He's working. He got off work early to come here tonight. And his future goal is to become a diesel mechanic. So what I'm going to do is put out some questions, let the kids just give you their answer so you can hear the same feedback I get. And if you have some lingering questions, we'll try to save some time at the end so you can answer that. So Zane, what promotes your sense of community here at school? What made you feel connected at Tri Academy?
I mean, it was a lot more of a one-on-one experience with the teachers. I've said in some other meetings that I went to with Ms. Thompson that at the high school there's, say, 30 kids per room, 1 teacher. But if there's 30 kids in the room and half of them need help at the same time, then they're not always going to get to you, which means you're not always going to get your stuff done, and you're probably not going to pass the class if you don't get your stuff done. So here it's, you know, a little smaller environment. I find it easier to work in because you kind of have your choice of what classes you want to take and how you want to take them. And the teachers that do an amazing job as far as helping us out and stuff. And we try to really show them, I guess, as much appreciation as we can. So.
Good. Has Tri Academy promoted your sense of hope as far as school's concerned and your outlook into the future? And if so, how?
It for sure has. I mean, I came into this school with half a credit. I wasn't on course to graduate at all, and the average kid earns like 6 credits or something like that during the year, and I've tried to work as hard as I could. I've earned 11 this year so far, and next year I should have about 4 or 5 until I graduate. So the pace I'm going now, I should be able to graduate at least half a year early.
Wow.
Why
do you think you struggled to be successful before you came here? Because you're bright, and you you have everything it takes to achieve. So what changed for you?
There's definitely a lot of distractions at the high school. I had a lot more friends that went there. I'm not going to lie, it was easy to sneak past the teachers in high school. You can walk around and do what you want, sneak past the
teachers. It's hard to sneak around here.
It's hard to sneak around before classrooms. If I'm going to sneak anywhere, it's going to be across the hallway and go to the classroom. I guess it has just worked out a lot better for me, and I'm sure for a lot of other people that go here too. Because there have been a couple kids that are in the same boat as me that are doing pretty much as well as I am. So.
So meet Savannah. She's in the middle. She came to us with ample credits. She was actually at senior status when she came to us. She'll talk about maybe why she came in a few minutes. She is actually one of our early completers and chooses to stay to be engaged in a selective course that you're going to hear about. She's been accepted to Columbus State, and she wants to be a teacher and would be a fantastic one. So, Savannah, talk about the projects that you've been involved on and how that promotes your sense of community, like here and outside the school, and how does that impact your engagement in your classes when they are project-based, like you chose to be part of?
So, we did an art show not too long ago by Ms. Hendy, and I feel like it definitely brought our classmates together, because in the beginning of the school year, there was arguing, people weren't getting along. Like, I'm not trying to just be biased to the school, but we're troubled kids, basically. I fell off the edge and came here, but yeah, there was a lot of conflict in the beginning, and then, like, Ms. Hendy created a class, or just goals for us as individuals and as classmates to do things like that, which I feel like brought us closer together and resolve some things between both of myself, definitely. Mm-hmm. But we're also doing selective. That's why I stay here, because we're fundraising to fundraise for a movie theater. What is it called? Uptown.
I've not had one.
And down here in Marysville, and I feel like not only will that help like us as students here, like getting along, but just the community overall. Because what is there really to do for kids here? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that would definitely bring down a lot of like trouble for people who do things that they're not supposed to do. But yeah, I feel like I want to just like congratulate Ms. Hendy for everything that she's like done for me, because I feel like if I wouldn't have been in selective, I'm 18 and I don't even know, like, other than Columbus State and wanting to be a teacher, where to even start with those things. So just being here and being with my family, because they're all I have, it means something to me. So this school is just something to me.
Savannah, you're doing well.
Like, I don't know how many times we've had to bring Kleenex to the board meeting, but tonight's one of those nights.
So talk about why you came, because you didn't necessarily need it for credit recovery.
Okay.
So why you came and how has that helped you promote your sense of hope?
My family left me here by myself. Actually, in a house in Ridgeway with no electricity, no water, nothing, no food. And John's family took me in. And I couldn't get into school because I had no parent to do that for me, no birth certificate, nothing. I still don't have those things. But I went to the board, actually, I think, and someone got me in to school through like a loop. Basically saying I'm homeless, even though I was living with him. It's the only way I could get into school and graduate. So I came here, and I feel like not only because my family left me, but before that, when I was going to the high school, I got suspended because only once, I promise. I got in a fight with another girl because I was being bullied, and I went to Mr. Stackhouse. I love him, but I went to him so many times about this group of girls, and I finally just reached my breaking point, and I feel like being here, like away from them, because none of them still like me, and I really don't care, but like just being here with like, I can't like say it other than my family, like everyone here is my family, and it just staying away from all that, just I feel like it has brought up hope for me. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So this is Sean. Sean came to try as a junior with 5.25 credits, which is low. He is now back on track to graduate with 12.75 core credits. That's 6 core and 1.5 work credits because he's a worker. He is not done articulating credits. He's also still in 4 core classes, and he also participates in selective. And selective is just, we call it selective because kids are earning elective credit, but they get to sort of design what that credit looks like through the projects that they choose to be part of. So you're selecting how you articulate that credit. So it's sort of a play on words. And then he's also continuing to work. You want to be a barber after you graduate, and he'd be a great one. So, Sean, what are the instructional options here at TRI, and how does that impact your achievement?
So, after high school, I'm a very independent person, and I like to do my own thing. And if I don't get my way, I'm like a little kid, I throw a fit. I can just do the class when I want to. If I want to do it online, if I want to do it with a teacher, if one day I want to do it online, I can do it online, and say the next day I want to do it with a teacher, I can do it with a teacher. So it's just, it all depends on how I'm feeling that day. And I hated that in high school. I'd pick my classes online, and then I'd go into next year, and I'd have all these classes that I didn't even know what they were, or like college credit classes. It's classes I didn't want to do, so like it made me mad. So I'd skip the class, or I'd drop the class. And I think last year I dropped all my classes, but the ones that they wouldn't let me drop. So it was just, and here, instead of dropping classes, I'm trying to get on more classes because I want to get out of here as soon as I can, because I absolutely hate school. it's the truth. And
what's your favorite style of instruction here? Do you have a favorite?
I like it on Schoology because I can build.
Talk about that a little.
So basically, I have it as it's an online class where there's a teacher like Mr. Craig, like my U.S. history. I can do it online, but Craig's in the room to help, so it's just, so like I can go 10 years ahead and I won't get in trouble. And if I'm far ahead, Craig's not gonna yell at me for being far ahead, or if I'm behind, he's like yell at me. That's not like super, super behind. But so it's just, it's all self-paced, and that's what I like about it.
How do you know what you're going to work on each week at school?
Every Friday, we sit down with our advisory teacher, and we go through goals. I think it's like 3 goals, or 3 or 4 goals. And basically, we sit down like, I'm going to get so much done in U.S. history, so much done in math, and so much done in selective. And then if I meet them goals, I get a reward or something. And if I don't meet those goals, I mean, it's, I have to do it next time, so. But it's just, it basically is like, it's like an agenda, so I know what I'm going to do every single day, and not just go into school and be like, well, what am I going to do, and then spend 30 minutes deciding what I'm going to do.
And what about your sense of hope? Has it improved since you've come here? And if so, how?
I definitely was going to drop high school my senior year. Like, I was going to go against my mom and just, so I was going to turn 18 this summer, and I was just basically say go away, and I was going to move out and just drop high school, because I didn't plan on graduating. I wanted to graduate, but it's just, I messed up my freshman and sophomore year on personal issues, so I was like, well, I'll mess around with my friends junior year, and then just drop out senior year and just hope for the best or something. And so coming here, like, I still kind of had, at the beginning of the year, still had that, well, I'll give this a shot for a couple months, and if it doesn't work, I'll just drop. Like it's no biggie for me, but I end up getting my work done fast. Like, for some reason, it felt easier. Like, it was, they made it fun. Like, at the high school, like, I sleep a lot. Like, I barely, like, other than my state test, like, I'm always working, or if I'm not working, I'm working slowly, but I'm always working, and I'm always getting credits done, and then when I see that I have, same going from 5.5 credits, or whatever it was, to, like, 12 credits I have now, like, it's just kind of like, me and Zane, we always try to beat each other in credits, try to get each other's, see who can get classes done first. So it's like, we make it into, like, some competitive, and he's competitive, so we kind of make it into, like, a little game, who can graduate early. So it's just, it gave me a lot of hope, and now I actually see myself being a barber, because before I just saw myself running out, like, Taco Bell or something, like, couch hopping or something. So it makes me happier, you know, I'm going to do something with my life after high school.
So I wanted to make sure that you guys had a chance to ask other questions. You all did fantastic. Does anyone have any questions that you want to ask? We try to make it interactive because Tri is new, and I'm sure there are a lot of questions, and I feel they tell our story better than I would. So, mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say how proud I am to see you guys succeeding in what you're doing. The inspiration that you have shown tonight is a great inspiration to me. Knowing that you guys are going to go out there and you're going to make a difference in this world. Mm-hmm. And I see it in all three of you, and I'm just so excited to be a part of it. And I can't wait to see, maybe next year you could come back and visit us and talk to us where you're at that point.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
First of all, I slept in school all the time, too. And continue that in college. But I'm just wondering how you're doing with the building. How is the building working out? That was one of our questions when we, yeah, this was starting out.
I love to wander and I love to walk. Like, at the high school, I think you barely ever see me in my classes. And I think the problem was that is the high school is so big. And if you, I don't know if you guys know Mr. Pelzer is, like, or Mr. Metzger, like, I was always skipping their classes. I even had pals that were chasing me around the building sometimes. And, like, so, like, it was kind of like a game of hide and seek kind of thing. But, like Zane said, there's the furthest we can go is to the bathroom, and half the time the teacher is waiting. So, like, there's nowhere. I wish the building was just a little bit bigger, because sometimes it does get crowded, but for the most part, I feel like if it was bigger, like, I'd go wander off, or I'd chill in the corner with one of my friends and just mess around. So it's, like, a good, like, good and bad thing, but I'm only here for 3 hours, so it's not, like, that bad. It's not like I'm here for 8 hours, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my question. I know you can come a half day morning, half day afternoon, or you can come the whole day. So what have you chosen to come a half day? Is that correct? Yes. Right? What have the two of you?
Half day. And they go... Zane and Sean, you guys were on full day, yeah, to start, correct? Yeah. And talk about that shift if you want to. Are we,
yeah, I mean, I kind of worked my way into being able to afford to have a half day schedule. As far as the half day schedule goes, I picked morning classes so I can come to school, and then I get out at 11 o'clock. I can go to work after. Work almost until it's time to go to bed, and yeah, I mean, it keeps me out of trouble. It keeps me tired. That way, I can come here and do my work. And then, as far like, since me and him both work, there's this thing. I don't really know what it's called, but you can every 120 hours worth of pay stubs that you have, you can turn it in, and you get an elective credit for it. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a motivation by itself. You get paid to get a credit for school, so.
You do more than 3 hours, too, I feel like. Because you're like, well, mm-hmm. in 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Like after it was like three classes and then lunch. After lunch, I think I left school almost every single day, and I was out hanging out with friends. So like
at the high school.
At the high school, not here.
But
here, like, I get my work done in 3 hours, and then I eat lunch, and then it's like I can go work and then be home at 8. I don't work till midnight, 11.
Yeah.
See, it's a lot easier though. I feel like because. Like, I mean, you don't really have as much time that you feel like you can slack off. Mm-hmm. Like, if I was here for 8 hours a day, I didn't feel like working in the morning, I'd be like, it's all right, I won't pay attention for right now, I'll do it in the afternoon. The afternoon coming around, I wouldn't do it either, so,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot more chance of me procrastinating then. But if I'm only here for 3 hours, I'm like, I have to get this goal done. There's so much in this class done within the 3 hours that I'm here. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a motivation, too.
Didn't you find that semester time that students actually that were on half day completed more credits than full day?
Yeah, it was actually the first 12 weeks I ran numbers, and I knew I would have to wait, like, at least 12 weeks to see what actually panned out. And we found that, we started observing it actually before the numbers came in, but we found that in the first 12 weeks, I think the kids who stayed all day, they earned like 1.67 credits on average, and then the kids who stayed half a day earned like 3.04. So we were
wow.
like, we can't ignore that. And we were like having that gut feeling anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think Zane hit the nail on the head. More time means more like, I've got time, you know, like waiting. So we do still have a few students on a full day, and like Zane said, he had to earn his way there because what their 0.5 credits doesn't justify half a day for me.
Right.
So there are certain students who need the full day, depending on the dire need. But if they can get to the half day, the productivity isn't harmed and isn't most of the time positively impacted, which was interesting data to have.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know about anybody else in here, but I get really irritated when I get bored.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm bored in school, and I know that I'm here for 8 hours. I've already had a couple problems this year with another student, but I mean, we kind of switched our schedules, so I don't really have to see him that much. But if I'm sitting here, if I were here all day, I'd probably get bored at some point. I would be ready to leave. I would start getting really irritated, and I mean, at that point, it like shortens your fuse a little bit. So
it makes my days feel longer too. I think I'm getting bored down the other day, then going to school all day, and then going to work, and it's like my day's wasted.
Pretty much.
Do you feel like, you know, some just the change to this building? Do you feel like it's given you more tools, like, outside of school, too? Or, like, do you feel like, I don't know, you just learn how to handle situations a little bit differently, or?
I feel like we're treated more like adults than at the high school because I feel like we're not given, like, leeway, but we're given, like, a say-so.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when they sit, like, what Sean was saying, like, about how, like, we can choose the way that we want to work. As long as we're working, it's all
right.
matters.
Right.
But, like, it gives us, like, the alternative, like, way of thinking, like, hey, when I go out, like, I'm not going to be like, you have to do this. Like, it's, like,
mm-hmm.
as long as you do that, there's other ways, like, to do it.
Right.
So I feel like the school and the way that they do things just teaches us how to, like, do things on the outside, just in different
right.
ways.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You can kind of model the same things
yeah.
that they're showing you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what's nice, too, is, like, I've had my problems with some students, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there was times where Craig had to take me out of the room. And it was nice because, like, I've been taken out of the rooms in high school. And it's just, you're sitting there and the teacher's talking to you, and you're just like you don't even know what's going on. Like, go away. Like,
mm-hmm.
But, like, Craig, he helped me a couple times, and he was like, I've been kind of through the same thing. Like, it's not worth it. Like, just,
mm-hmm.
like, calm down. And, like,
mm-hmm.
we'll take care of it. And it's so it kind of it calmed me down more, and
mm-hmm.
I kind of knew something was going to get done. Other than the high school, you sit there, you complain about the same problem 100 times, and it's just, it might be solved for a day, and then the next thing is the same thing over and over. And like, the teachers, like, they've had their struggles, and then they they teach us from what they went through to not do what they did, do this way, and you'll succeed. And he has that out of the mind fullness thing.
Yes, nice.
I got you.
And kudos to the teacher.
I know.
I mean, it's wonderful. Right. That,
yeah. It takes a special person to emulate what is needed, and they're excellent.
Clearly, the relationships that the teachers have built with the students shines through. Mm-hmm. Makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely think it's cool that I'm going to graduate school where I started at, because I went here when it was East Elementary.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's indeed. Yeah. That's pretty wonderful. That's great. Yeah.
I knew it's the second time I've heard you talk, right? The first time you guys came to Admin Council and you made me tear up there and against it, which normally isn't easy for me. Yeah. So I would just say again, you know, I said some things to you at that meeting, but I also appreciate your bravery. I mean, it's not always easy to try something new. And so that alone is something, and showing your perseverance and stick-to-itiveness as you finish your high school career are lessons that last a lifetime, right? So I would just tell you to keep those in the forefront of your mind as well. We couldn't be more proud of what you and your teachers have accomplished in this building. And, you know, I'm excited as the year, it's not even been a year.
I mean, that's the
more amazing piece here. So congratulations.
And we're going to be really excited to see you walking across that stage on graduation day. So we are. Thank you all so much.
We wanted to mention our community partner. So Jen actually is the advocate for the students when they come up with brilliant ideas. So she's going to talk about real quick what the community partnership looks like. So beginning of the year, we're kind of forming, and we knew our three commitments of community, career, and character. We were looking for some partnerships and some projects that would really get the kids a chance to get out in the community in Marysville and Union County. And they kept talking about the movie theater. So I was like, all right, well, I'll ask. So I sent an email, actually on Facebook, and within hours, Elizabeth responded. She came in and met with me for hours. We had a good conversation. She was so willing to jump in and like, yeah, let's do it. Let's partner up. We came up with an idea. She came in and talked to the kids, presented to the kids, walked them through like how there's different, you know, committees and how there's different ways that they can be a part of a project. And really, just her generosity of time with these guys was outstanding. And really empowered the kids. And I think the coolest part is I see now, as they're, you know, developing this project and getting ready April 20th, come see a movie, I see that they're having an experience. They're going to remember the rest of their lives. It's really given them a chance to see themselves as a part of the community in a different way. So we just want to be able to recognize Elizabeth Mosser for her partnership. She is project manager of the Uptown Avalon Movie Theater Project. And we just want to thank her for all of her work with us. And
thank you so much, Elizabeth.
I feel a little bit like a fraud when Jennifer messaged me and she's like, hey, can you come meet with the kids and they're going to do a project and they're going to raise a bunch of money and then they're going to give it to you and all you have to do is come and say hi to them and I'm going to give you chocolate croissants. It's really easy to partner with somebody like that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, do we know if we have any public participation?
Hey Jonathan.
Is there anybody signed up here? Oh, okay. All right, I think next up we are ready for the Ohio High Point Report, Mr. Chivington.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening. So for this presentation, you shouldn't need any cleanup.
Okay, good, good. We need a break.
All right, so last month, if you remember, we shared a video with the board about the 21st century learning, and there's going to be a total of 9. So far, we have 5 made, so if you want to get go online and look at them. The next one is about the satellites. So hopefully it'll be done in time, and I can bring that and show that to you, so Marysville will be highlighted in that. So we've also talked about the students supporting the Texas schools with notebooks, and mm-hmm. there's been over 300 notebooks sent down to the Texas schools, so that's been a real nice event for the students. Doing a lot of interviewing for supply chain management positions, and also Allison here is with us tonight. We're also interviewing for auto tech positions there as well. So some activity with that. This is the time of year for competitions at Ohio High Point. DECA competitions, I believe we had about 6 students last year. So far this year, we have 16 students. Half of them are from Marysville.
Yeah, that's great.
The DECA competition. So everyone's really excited about that. Our board meeting was last night, and we had an opportunity to do kind of a pre-tour of the ribbon cutting. And I've been college recruiting for a number of years, and the equipment in that room, in that building, that new area, is oftentimes much better than the boarding schools. Again, the invitation is out to the board to come. I'll personally be there if you have the opportunity to come. I just think you're really going to enjoy it. We'll have students there. We'll have faculty there. So you get a real hands-on flavor of the 21st century learning and the new Sloan development center. So really, really nice. I'm so impressed with that. We keep signing internship agreements with industry, and there's 2 more. There were 8 last month. Two of the 8 was from Marysville. So we keep putting students to work with work-based learning. And speaking of that, I've had the privilege of working with Allison the last year about Jesse Boomstra, who is one of our students who presented to you a number of months ago. And happy to say we partnered with ADECO. ADECO has signed an agreement with the state of Ohio, with the state board of education in the state of Ohio, to put students to work through a program called YES, and that stands for Youth Employment Service. They've got this initiative in the state of Kentucky, and so Honda's been the first company to participate in this agreement. And Jesse starts a week from today at Honda.
Wow.
So it's a paid internship. He'll be working before he goes to school. He'll start at 7 o'clock in the morning and work till about 10.
Wow.
And then he'll work all summer with us. And I may have mentioned last month, if I repeat myself, I apologize, but for the first time in my career, I made somebody 2 offers and 1 phone call. We made Jesse an offer for the high school internship. And we also made him an offer for a co-op student when he's a sophomore in college.
Nice.
So he was so excited, and we are too. So, so 2 offers and 1 phone call. I've never done that before. So he's a special guy.
He really is.
And hopefully we can bring him back. And actually, he doesn't know it yet, but we are going to involve him in a conference, a co-op conference in Columbus in May, so Tammy Cooper and Dr. Smith and myself and Jesse will be presenting to all the schools and colleges in the state of Ohio about his high school internship. So we're planning on doing that in May. So and that's what I have tonight.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Superintendent's report.
Just have a few things. I wanted to recognize our board president once again for her recognition at the OSBA dinner that we had earlier this month. She received Master Board Member and Achievement Award during that, and certainly speaks to her commitment to our students and school districts. So wanted to make sure I mentioned that again. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Also wanted to talk, we had safety meetings in every building, kind of a coffee with the principal format. Jonathan and I attended we attended all of them together, didn't we? Except for one we split. We had 2 buildings at the same time. Parents were very appreciative of the opportunity to hear from principals about what was happening in their building, some of the procedures that took place. They had the opportunity to ask questions. Most of the elementary questions were around recess time. They didn't feel any threats. They were surprised the doors were propped open at the high school and things like that. They couldn't get their mind around what that looked like. Certainly, it came up in several meetings, the idea of arming teachers. We talked about other options that we'd like to explore prior to even going down that avenue, and parents were very receptive to those other options. So we have been talking, and I think it will come up in Todd's presentation, to the City of Marysville about increasing SRO presence and how we might share some expense with that, and I think Todd will be talking about that as well. But I thought they went really well, with the exception of Mrs. McGlynn didn't know how to make coffee, so it percolated after the meeting was over. But they went really well. Fundraising night last night for the stadium project, obviously we postponed that. We wanted people to attend, and we were fearful that the weather would not have as high attendance as possible, so that's rescheduled for April 10th, and we've kind of hit every media outlet we can to push that message. Everyone that received a special invitation also received a personal phone call, so that would be April 10th at 6:30. We had a levy meeting this week, so things are gearing up, and I think Chris Schmink and Jared Weiss are doing a great job starting to get the fundraising portion of the levy committee going, so that's off and running. And I just wanted to say I had the opportunity last week, thank goodness, before another snowstorm hit New York this week, to travel with the band and choir, and it was a great experience. Our students certainly were outstanding once again. It was a great time, visited lots of places. I'm still not sure I've caught up on all my sleep, but it was a great experience.
That's right, because our band partner, they played in the
St.
Patrick's Day Parade, yeah.
Which was absolute Times Square, packed.
Yeah.
You know, I could hear them wonderfully. I couldn't see them for anything through all the people, but and then the choir performed at a church.
Nice.
And I would say probably the best moment, like on the, you know, human side, the touching side, is that I was with the choir. We were walking through Central Park and went under a staircase in Central Park by the fountain. And there was a street guitar player, an older gentleman, playing his guitar. The kids recognized the song and just gathered around him and started singing. It was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
He smiled from ear to ear. I mean, it just made his day. They did several songs then, and I think I preferred that more than anything else I saw. So it was a great experience. So the kids were great, and it was a good time. Good time. That's all I have.
Okay.
I'd like to say I appreciate the effort that you and Jonathan made to set up coffees in all of the buildings and have an opportunity for parents to come in. I had a chance to visit one of them, and it was a wonderful opportunity to be able to hear from parents and be able to talk to parents. And our county sheriff happened to be, that meeting was up at Raymond.
Yeah, we have police presence at every meeting we hosted, so that was, you know, just speaks to our collaboration with them.
Yeah. Well, and that's important for our parents to see too. And you know, I think we talk about it a lot, but you know, when you're right there in the coffee and you see all those people and how well everybody gets along, and so
yeah,
good stuff. Okay, treasurer's report.
Okay.
Won't make us cry
even. It's probably not really bad.
So for my report, I'm going to give a presentation regarding the potential upcoming levy in November 2018. I apologize early, Kenny, to your kids. It could be your first levy presentation, so I don't know what you guys did to have to sit through this. But
I gave him a break before we came.
You know, I think, you know, most levy presentations, it's kind of like telling the community, here's why we need this money. I think we're in a unique circumstance here where what we need to communicate to the community here is why you need to pass these levies so we can maintain our current low tax rates. You know, we're not asking for additional money. What we're doing here is actually going to help maintain the low tax rates that our community is already paying. Interesting point. Those three points up there actually were some of the talking points from the November 2013 levy. All of those components were met, but they all actually still apply today to the levy that we're looking at. So the promise is kept. Back in 2013, when that levy was passed, they said that, you know, we would not be back on the ballot until 2016. Well, we're looking at 2018, and again, I'll point out, this isn't a new money levy. This is a renewal. In 2013, we said, you know, this is not a new millage levy. And again, in 2018, this is not a new millage levy. And also, back in 2013, you know, one of our points was we're trying to protect our future. And again, today, this is true as well, and it's threefold. You know, one, same as last time, this is going to prolong the time until we ask for new money, for a new millage levy. Second, this, as I mentioned, this will help protect our already low tax rates, and I'll get into the details of that, how that actually works. And third, as Diane mentioned, this actually, you know, will protect protect our students, because there's a student safety component of what we're looking to do. So what the first, there's actually going to be two issues on the ballot, assuming this is just the first reading. So in April, these would be approved by the board to actually have them go on the ballot. So there would be two issues. The first issue would be renewal of the November 2013 6.56 mil levy. And that's going to expire in December of 2019. It was originally passed back in 1989. It's passed every 5 years since, most recently with a 71% passage rate. Even though it has a voted rate of 6.56 mils, it actually only has an effective rate, or, you know, the actual rate that you're paying as a residential taxpayer is only 2.685. And you'll notice for our commercial taxpayers, it's almost 4 mils higher at 6.316. So that's a pretty big difference, and we'll talk a little bit later of, you know, why that's significant. This levy generates about $3.2 million for the district. That's money that goes towards teacher salaries, utility bills, supplies for the buildings, those kinds of things. And the first potential renewal date would be November 2018. So that's why we're looking at that date. Several reasons why we want to renew this levy. One, kind of obvious, if we don't renew this levy, we're going to be looking at a deficit in 2022. So that's $3.2 million that would go away if we didn't have this levy. Second, you know, it's only 2.685 mils. You know, not to say that's nothing, but it's a relatively small millage levy. And if you look at the overall millage of the district right now, our effective operating mills is only 26.5. The minimum by state law is 20. So we're only 6.5 mils above the minimum that we could be paying as a community for our school taxes. But for me, the two most important reasons why we should renew this levy are the last two there. One is the 10% rollback reimbursement would be lost. And state law changed a few years back to where any new levies, you no longer do we get the benefit of that 10% rollback. What the 10% rollback basically does is when you're paying taxes to the school, the state's actually covering about 10% of that for you. If this levy were to go away and we had to pass a new levy, no longer that 10% no longer applies. You'd be paying the full amount of the levy. And the second most important reason is the shift in tax burden. And this kind of speaks to that difference between the residential rate and the commercial rate that I spoke to. Okay, so we'll get a little detail-y here, but we'll bring it home in the next slide as well. So what we're talking about here, class one, class two, and pub. So class one is residential. So that's you guys in here. That's a residential taxpayer. Class two means commercial. That's our businesses. PUP means public utility personal property. That's going to be things like railroads, gas lines, utility lines, those kinds of things. They're paying taxes as well. For the levy that we're speaking about, as I mentioned, for residential, the effective millage rate is 2.6 for us. For commercial, it's 6.3. And then for PUP, it's actually the voted and the effective is the same. That's just in state law. So they're paying the full 6.56. So based on the I've got the valuation. That's our current property values in the district. So we've got $546 million of residential property values. So if you do a little math there, that third line down shows the revenue being generated by this levy. Okay, so in total, like I said, about $3.2 million. So if this levy were to go away, you know, the school needs that revenue, so we'd have to pass an additional levy. The amount of millage that we would need to collect about $3.2 million is 4 mills, okay? Well, we can't go to the voters and say, well, we'd like to pass a levy where our residential taxpayers pay 2 mills, we want our commercial taxpayers to pay 6 mills, and we'd like our PUP taxpayers to pay 6 mills as well. When we go back to the voters, it's going to be one rate. We can't separate it. So when we go back with 4 mills, that means where you were only paying 2.6 as a residential taxpayer before, now you would be paying 4. As a business, you were paying 6.3, now you're going to get a reduction and only have to pay 4. So as a district as a whole, what that really means, that shift in tax burden, our residential taxpayers would now be paying an additional $700,000 a year in taxes, whereas our commercial and our PUP taxpayers would get a discount of $700,000. Okay, so to bring that home as an individual, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me as a taxpayer in this district? So there in the red bar shows currently, if you have a $200,000 home, just for example, with the current levy, you're paying about $165 per year in taxes on this levy. Again, if we don't renew this levy and we have to come back to get equal revenue, you're going to be paying actually $245 on that addition, on that new levy. So that's an increase of $80 per year if your house is about $200,000 value. So we also talked about the 10% homestead reduction going away. So that's another component on here that's going to add to your bill. So with the current millage, you're paying about $245. I'm getting ahead of myself here. So if we had to pass that new levy at 4 mills. Currently, with the homestead rollback reimbursement, you would pay $245. Well, with that going away, with a new levy, that jumps up to $273. So there's an additional, because of that homestead reimbursement going away, that's an additional $28 that we would be paying as residential taxpayers. So in total, not passing this levy and letting it go away, as an individual taxpayer, residential taxpayer, we would pay an additional $108 per year for the school to get the exact same amount of revenue. So the school gets the exact same amount of revenue, but it's just more shifted onto the residential taxpayer. Okay, so that's it for the first levy. The second levy issue is what we're calling a no new millage PI levy. There's a lot more to this, and I'll kind of get hit some of the nuts and bolts, and then the last slide usually makes it a little more easy to understand, but I can't not give you some of the nuts and bolts. So the reason this is even coming about and why we have the opportunity to pass this relatively unique levy, our bond fund is self-sufficient now. Our bond fund is collecting at 9.41 mills. Our bond fund is what pays off our debt. When we built all these schools years ago, we had to pass bonds to do that. Money in the bond fund is very specific, can only be used for debt. There's no flexibility. You can't use it for anything else. Due to, in part, property valuation increasing in Union County, as well as bond refundings we've done to lower the interest rates we're paying on our bonds, we've been able to build up a reserve in our bond fund. So we built up that reserve to the point that the county auditor is going to be reducing the millage in our bond fund by 2 mills. Okay, and that'll be effective starting in 2019. So due to those millages, that millage decreasing by 2 mills, that gives us an opportunity.
So what we're looking to do is our permanent improvement fund, currently we collect 2.9 mils there. To have the ability to basically fund our permanent improvement forecast and our maintenance schedule and our bus replacement schedule, technology replacement schedule, all of those different things, the TIF revenue that we get from the city is all right now going into the permanent improvement fund. So that's how we are able to maintain that permanent improvement forecast. What we're looking to do with this no new millage PI levy is basically the bond fund is going to go down by 2 mils. We're asking the voters to increase our permanent improvement fund by 2 mils. Okay? So what that gives us the ability to do is now instead of using that TIF revenue to basically fund our permanent improvement forecast, we would be able to take that same TIF revenue and put it into our general fund. Having that money in our general fund will do two things for us. One is going to help us delay a new millage ask, and that should push that back by at least a year. Secondly, having that revenue in the general fund gives us a little more flexibility with that money. That money that's, while it's in the permanent improvement fund, you cannot use that towards a school resource officer. With that money in the general fund, we could then allocate that money for an additional school resource officer. And as Diane mentioned, we're already speaking with the city to have them help partially fund an additional school resource officer. And I mentioned there, 1 mil equals about $800,000. So a 2 mil, no new millage PI levy would generate about $1.6 million, which is just about the same amount as our TIF revenue. So to kind of summarize and hopefully make it even easier to understand, what we're asking our voters to do is to give us permission to shift 2 mils of tax rate from our bond fund over to our permanent improvement fund. Okay, so there's millage stays the same, revenue stays the same, all with the purpose of pushing back any new millage asks. And giving us the opportunity to hire an additional school resource officer. That's all. Any questions?
I have a couple just that we've heard out mm-hmm. and I think would be good.
Right.
One of the questions I've been asked, you know, if it's bond debt and that's building debt, why don't you just use that money and pay it off early, like I can pay my mortgage off?
Right.
Yeah, that's a great question. And unfortunately, I would love to do that, but unfortunately, bonds are not the same as your mortgage. You know, as much as we sometimes will use those things to compare to help people understand, you can't pay off bonds early. A bond debt schedule is set. Really, the only thing you can do is interest change. Interest rates change. You can do things to lower the interest rates, but you really can't pay them off early. That's set.
Yeah, and so if I'm a homeowner, well, I am a homeowner in Marysville, and the auditor is going to drop my bond rate by 2 mils, what's the impact for that for me?
So, that's another good point. So, if the auditor drops your tax rate by 2 mils, I mean, you may see a very small decrease to your taxes. It would be, you know, probably a blip that you wouldn't even notice. Whereas if there was a 2 mil increase, you'd probably notice because you would see things going up. So that's partly why we think this is a great opportunity to do this, because you'd never notice the 2 mils going down, but later on when we ask you to bring it up, you know, a lot of people are going to notice that. So this gives us the opportunity to push back that time when we're going to ask you to actually bring it up.
And the last question I had, and then I'll be done.
You should have told me to
be
ahead of time.
I knew you would be prepared. We've heard them together. So the past couple of years, my taxes have continued to go up, so that means the school district gets more money, you know?
Right. That would be nice. So, again, that's due to House Bill 920. There's a law, basically, that says the school district's not going to get more money just because the value of your house went up. Basically, when a levy's passed, we're supposed to get about the same amount of revenue from that levy today as we did 20 years ago. So as your property values go up, that's why you'll see that effective millage rate go down. So in essence, you know, we're getting the same amount of revenue. The reason we will see some increase is because there's some growth in Union County. So if there's some new construction, new houses are built, new businesses come in, that is new money to the district. But as far as the taxes you're paying on your particular property, we're getting the same amount of revenue.
Thank you.
And I just want, I know that, I guess one of the comments that I've heard is the fact that the recommendation is to make it continuing.
Correct.
This renewal to make it continuing, and I know that that is, you know, sometimes there are some concerns there, and I know that the Finance Committee had met and talked about some of the issues with always having to put a renewal out there, and then also looking at the fact that it was passed back in 89 and has been renewed every 5 years since then, and the fact that we know at some point we're going to need new money, so there's always going to be an opportunity for another levy out there for
people. Well, like you mentioned, the Finance Committee, because it's Ross, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why it makes sense now for this to be continuing. You know, one, as you mentioned, if we don't make this continuing, there's a good chance by the time we need new money mm-hmm. would be the same time we would need to renew this again. Mm-hmm. So we would be going back to our voters for a renewal and new money at the same time. Again, the Finance Committee really saw the validity to locking this levy in continuing because of the homestead and rollback going away. If we let this go away, we can never recapture that. So that's something we want to lock in and keep, as well as that effect, that, you know, avoiding that tax shift and putting more on our residential taxpayers.
Right. And that saves us money too, not going back to.
Yeah, it does. It costs money to put a levy on the ballot.
And an incredible amount of time
right.
with a wonderful levy committee that we have. You know, but it's still, it's a lot, it's a distraction too to the district. I know that some other
for staff,
some other
it's
kind,
a
yeah.
distraction for sure.
Right.
And it's a lot of time, it's
right.
expensive, it's
yeah.
fundraising, you know, all of those things. So,
right. Yeah.
Only doing that once every 5 years, it would be great.
Right, yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see, just a couple things here. We had a community coffee this last month that Mr. Smith and I covered, and we had actually one person who was specifically there for our coffee, and then another person who had come in and was just kind of curious about him, and actually his wife is a teacher in the district. But again, you know, they just really appreciate the opportunity to have that informal setting, and, you know, shared a lot of positives, talked about a couple of maybe some opportunities for improvement, and so as always we share that with Diane, and then I guess the real positive was at the end both of them said that they would be willing to help with our levy committee, so you know, and we kind of had an opportunity to talk to them about some of the details behind that as well, so that was good, and then I'm sure Nan will update us on the next one coming up. I just also want to talk about the Edgewood, since that's one of my liaison buildings. I had an opportunity to be there when we had the visit from the state coming to see the PACS program at work there. There were like 15 people that came to the building, and it was a great day and a really nice chance to see how PACS is having a positive impact in the classroom with its teachers and the students. I also had a chance just to go to the very end of the JASCO speech contest when they were announcing the finalists. I didn't get to hear Zach speak, but he was awarded the General Consulate Award. And when I got there, they were just starting to talk about the awards, and the lady presenting them made a comment about how the competition, the bar has raised significantly. And Ia, our teacher, said that, you know, a big part of that is because of Marysville, our program, and the involvement of our students. So it was nice to hear that. Let's see. So I guess staying on the Japanese subject there, their Evening of Japanese Culture is coming up on April 7th. Chamber of Commerce annual dinner is April 19th. I know a couple of us are going to be out of town, but I saw you're going to be able to attend. So I know Donna was looking for RSVPs, so I think Brian and Amy, if you need to let Donna know if you're going to be able to,
yeah,
to go
think,
to that.
I think we've cleared that we can do that, so I'll get
good, out. Okay. And then Japanese National Honor Society is going to be on April 28th, mm-hmm. and I believe, Brian, you're planning to go
right.
to that. Good, thank you. And I think that's all I've got.
Okay.
So, legislative report now.
Well, this is a little bit like show and tell.
Okay.
Senator Burke, Dave Burke, agreed to stay and be a part of my legislative report. And he told his wife he'd be done by 8 o'clock, he'll not fly
okay.
after.
So maybe we put him up first, right?
Yes. So,
okay.
Senator Burke, recently the state legislature passed into law some new legislation. Could you please just tell us a little bit about
that? Real quick, in the Senate, we passed it.
Yes.
It's my colleague's bill, Senator Huffman from the Lima area. And it's really a first, and it's kind of exciting where historically the General Assembly, I'll talk about it plurally, how about that, likes to just pass bills without any consult from the people that it affects when it comes to education. We've got a couple teachers, but I've always been amazed when I've been down there that, you know, everybody's an expert and you have to do something on education and, you know, let's just pass a bill and move on. And some of those have had some negative consequences that I think we're in the process of remedying, like charter schools and econ, for example, being one of them. But this bill was different. We actually sat down with the school boards, as Republicans, we actually sat down with the OEA. And we actually had conversations about how can we make schools more efficient and effective, knowing that there's a fiscal component and an operational component. And granted, I wouldn't call this groundbreaking in what it does. It's kind of common sense, legislatively, but it's groundbreaking in the sense that people actually sat down together and talked about things that they wanted to do together that benefited both parties. And that, to me, is something that I've never seen in a decade. It's kind of exciting. And we kind of got in the spirit of wanting to do more of that. So as we look out other issues going forward, I know that my colleague Bill Reinecke, who's a representative up in the northern part of the district, he's in here. I was kind of surprised about a bill that he dropped, which I think the Senate's kind of chilled on. We're kind of going more in the vein of let's actually work together with these affected parties to streamline education and bring more local control, true local control, back to school boards. The teacher evaluation process, as you know, that was a book front of this bill, is one that we just kind of handed back and said, oh, you all figure it out, which is kind of where a lot of us wanted to be 4 years ago, but now we're finally there. So without going on too much, it's not just what's in the bill, it's how the bill actually came into being that I think is probably the best thing that happened in education in my mind in a long time. And all I know is I want more of that. So still have to get it through the House. Legislatively, like everybody probably knows, we have some primary elections coming up in May, November. We run on a two-year cycle in Columbus. It ends at the end of this year, so we'll have an actual lame duck this go-around, end of speakership, end of a governor. But the Senate president will continue. He and I work closely together, and we're focused more on stability, even if it means closing down shop and leaving early. We don't want any monkey business, so I can tell you that. But do watch the bill. It's a good bill. It has a potential to be Christmas tree by unaffected pieces of legislation because it will pass.
Yeah.
But we'd like to get it out before summer break cleanly because it's just that important to all of us. So but that's kind of where we're at, and I guess that's another bit of good news for all of us on that front. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
What bill are you referencing?
That number was what? Not 111. Senate Bill 412?
Yeah, I think it's
412.
412.
And that was just last week that we passed it,
right,
out of the Senate.
Okay.
Without, and that was bipartisan, by the way, and that was unanimous. People were just happy to finally see this working relationship happen.
Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, in talking to people that I'm acquainting with, Senator Huffman got a phone call from the superintendent and said, here's some things that could be better. And Senator Huffman took the opportunity to say, let's bring together some other superintendents and let's talk about this and see if we can identify some things that we can do. And I think you're absolutely right. I appreciate your time tonight. You know, having a conversation, bringing a conversation, identifying problems collectively, then structuring the legislation so that it can move forward is huge. It's as you said, it's not groundbreaking, but it doesn't happen all that frequently. So I also would like to thank you very much. Senator Burke and I have had a number of conversations since I came to the school board, and he has always been very receptive to conversations. He has listened, and I am very appreciative for his efforts on behalf of the students in our school district to try and improve our educational system, to give our local teachers the opportunities to work with kids and to achieve some of the successes that we heard tonight from some of those students, because it's a collective effort. The legislature needs to do their part. School boards, local communities need to do their part. Taxpayers, we've got levies coming up, need to do their part. But if everybody pulls together in the same direction, we can accomplish some absolutely remarkable things. And when you have three young people stand before you and say, I've had, in the last 9 months, a life-changing experience, and a very positive life-changing experience that bodes well for them for the rest of their lives. I mean, this is, to me, the most impressive thing, was they were not talking about just next week. They were talking about careers, they were talking about their futures, and the people in this room have had a tremendous opportunity to be able to touch their lives in ways that up until this year we missed. And I kind of getting off track here a little bit, but this building, this school, is a result of efforts that got started 4 or 5 years ago, and because this is not something we could have done 4 or 5 years ago. There needed to be some foundations laid within the district. And once those foundations were laid, then the opportunity presented itself, and we had people that were willing to take the risk and do that. So collectively working together, more successes in the future. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you, and Dave. My relationship with you is amazing. And I've got less than 3 years now left in the Senate. I'm not running for the House, as you probably know. I am certainly never running for the school board. God bless you.
even after you see the great things that happen in this district?
Too close to the fire. But if I had advice, though, I mean, having a functional working relationship with a member of the school board, an honest functioning relationship, is so helpful to me. You are not an expert in every subject material, and it's nice to have somebody, even with a shirt and a tie on, that I can turn to and ask my dumb questions. Does that really happen that way? And that is so helpful, because eventually you have to go back and vote on it. And it's nice to know the way the world really operates, and it just because I can communicate with my colleagues, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing on your back. And it's nice to have one person I can turn to and ask my dumb questions, and you come to me with your concerns, and I try to give honest feedback from the inside, so that we actually have a relationship that's functional.
We're going to sit down and ask if you want to have time next week, maybe. And so we're going to try to get together and sit.
Yeah, right at the drugstore.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised where some state decisions get made.
There's some other things, but that was most important.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And Senator Burke, thanks again too for your commendation for Gary. That was very meaningful. I know how much I could see how much it meant to him, and we're really appreciative that you took the time and efforts to do that. So. Thank you.
Miss it for anything. He's an amazing person, clearly.
And if you need to leave, you're welcome.
Yes.
If you would like to stay and watch the rest of this,
it's going to go fast now.
I fully support it. thank you for letting me come and present that to him. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And Ms. Powers, nothing for the safety and director. Or do
no, we don't. No, we don't have a meeting till next month, so we'll have another update in the April meeting.
Okay.
But we have here. So I just wanted to mention this a little bit. There's going to be an art auction and fundraiser hosted by Youth to Youth. It's our youth in our county, and it's a prevention group of middle and high school students, and all artwork will be created and donated by residents of Union County, and it will be sold at a silent auction, and artists are eligible to receive awards and stuff. But the proceeds are going to go to the purchase of a memorial space in Marysville for the loved ones to those who have been lost to substance abuse. So this is a really important event. Raffle items will be there and all, and it's April 12th at the Houston House from 5 to 8. So just wanted to make you aware of that, because our youth do a great job, and so this is going to do a lot of benefit for those families.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, now I need a motion to approve our minutes from both our February 22nd regular meeting and our March 6th special meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. I just wanted to comment on our special meeting on March 6th that we did approve a safety resolution. So I think that resolution will be, I don't know if it's already gone somewhere or if we need to get that signed. But anyways, I thought that was important for us to kind of make a statement there. Okay, so roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, we have a recommendation to approve the resolution of opposition to House Bill 512. I have a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. How about some discussion on this? I get maybe just a brief overview of what House Bill 512 is. I think Mr. Smith has given us some paperwork anyway.
House Bill 512 is a bill that has been proposed, it would combine the Department of Education, the Department of Higher Education, the Governor's Office of Workforce Development into one cabinet-level position. It reduces the role of the state school board to looking at violations or questions in terms of teacher licensure. State superintendent's role and influence on education in the state of Ohio is likewise significantly reduced. And it is a piece of legislation that the authors say will help to increase the communication between K-12 education, higher education, and business and workforce development in our state. That's really their stated goal, is try to increase communication. There are a number of businesses and organizations that would like to see workforce development enhanced in the state of Ohio, and they tend to be very supportive of this. Quite a number of school boards across the state have taken position in opposition. All of the educational associations in the state have taken positions in opposition to this bill. I gave to members of the board testimony that I'm prepared to give. Expecting to go Wednesday, yesterday, and present this before the House Government Accountability and Oversight Committee, where the legislation is. Ahead of the meeting, the agenda indicated that there was going to be a substitute bill introduced and that they would not be taking any testimony. Yesterday at the meeting, they heard testimony from three proponents, and there was no substitute bill introduced. And I'm not sure why that happened. There was an article in the Columbus Dispatch about this. It seems as if there is maybe going to be some change in the language, but I don't expect the substitute bill is going to alter trying to move everything and place this more under the influence of the governor. One of the issues that has been raised, and one of the issues that I will try to raise, is the fact that we have seen situations, and I'm going to say testing and standards in this state, where we had three different sets of standards and a fourth set that was proposed, and I told our legislatures, Senator Burke and Representative Plant at that time, that constantly changing standards essentially meant we had no standards at all. Part of my presentation is based on the fact that the state, and we will have a first reading tonight.
Second reading
on policy dealing with the Superintendent's Business Advisory Council. And so that's something new that the state has just proposed. There are also some other changes that have taken place across the state in terms of cooperation between businesses, business associations, and school districts. Our school district, I think, is a great example of how partnering with local businesses, and we heard tonight how young men, women are making a connection that ties into their future. They are going to be better employees because they have a more solid educational background in the future. And to be a barber, one of the requirements is you've got to be a high school graduate. You know, you get into diesel mechanic, there's going to be more training further on. Savannah didn't, I don't remember exactly, but so she would be a teacher. And you know, obviously you've got to be able to get into college, and well, you can get into college without a high school diploma. It's helpful to graduate from high school to get there. And so my message in this is that we've got a lot of things that are changing right now, that this, and this ties in with the message that they're hearing from others in opposition, is that this particular legislation does not resolve the issues that exist. What it does is it puts education under the control of the governor, and every 4 years we have a new governor come in, and every 4 years we can have, we already have issues with budget, now we may have issues with educational structure and policy on top of that. You know, it doesn't provide stability, and certainly there are always opportunities to make improvements, but many things are working to improve the goal of this bill. Many of the things that they feel are not happening, members that spoke in favor of it, even the sponsors of the bill, point out areas where workforce development, education, are partnering. And so I'd like to see those areas be given an opportunity, see what happens from that, and find ways to enhance that. And that this bill is not working us toward that direction. Senator Burke talked about Senator Huffman's bill, 512, and how that was a collaborative effort. There was not a single educational organization in the state that had any clue about this particular bill until shortly before it was introduced.
I think that's what stood out to me when I read it, you know, because and then I think about Mr. Chivington's report, you know, his High Point report, and Jesse Boomstra. You know, I mean, what a great, and just all of the internships that our district is already offering. So,
There was no collaboration. There was no input from educational organizations. There was no discussion with the Department of Education, Department of Higher Ed. You know, everybody impacted directly by this proposed legislation was kept in the dark.
Right. So any other questions or comments before we vote on?
Just one comment.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Something's not right when we see how rushed legislators are to pass this poorly crafted bill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this bill was set up with virtually no input from the educational community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually in the legislation. It calls out for this appointee to set up a someone to oversee workforce transformation. But there is no one actually called out in the legislation as a director of K-12 education policy.
Yeah.
So it kind of like takes the whole educational policy completely out of the organization. So
mm-hmm.
how would that happen in the future? So
right.
I just think that this is really poorly crafted and
yeah.
there's no meat underneath the legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Well, then, how about a roll call, please?
Well,
Okay,
so the resolution says...
That we oppose.
Right.
Yes.
Just wanted to make sure that was
yes.
clear. If we vote yes, that means we're opposed.
Yes, we are passing a resolution opposing House Bill 512. Thank you for
right.
that clarification. Yes. Okay.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Devine. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Next up, we need a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers?
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments?
Just a couple quick things. One, just looking at the cash flow, you might note
yeah.
that revenue looks a little off compared to projections. That's just a timing thing with our real estate tax advance. We actually got our final settlement today, so I haven't had a chance to actually compare that to where we were thinking. I think we're a little above projections, so it looks like it's going to be good news, but
okay.
I'll let you know more as I have time to look at that. Just note on our donations that we were approving tonight, a very substantial donation of welding equipment for the Early College High School from Columbus State. And not part of the agenda items, but I did want to mention, I forgot to mention that our audit is pretty much complete. We don't have a final draft of the report yet, but there it looks to be there's no items on the report, so we did receive a clean audit for fiscal year 17.
Nice. That's great. Yay. That's always. And just the only other thing on the section, that additional Section 457 plan resolution
oh.
is on there, yeah, which
yeah.
I don't know if people are aware of that, but that's just like
so,
a retirement type
yeah,
of fund
so
thing.
Yeah, so if a retirement provider wants to be a provider to our school,
mm-hmm.
As part of policy, they just have to get five teachers or employees that want to sign up. So this particular provider did that, so they will now become a provider for the district, and we're just approving basically the plan that they would provide.
Okay. Any questions? Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we need a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith.
I think there's two little kids that are very anxious.
I think there are two. Yeah. Let's get going. It's time to wake up.
I will fly through my heart.
Okay.
All right. So we have several HR items, including the employment of let me start with the right thing to do here, and I should have started there. As we've talked at length, someone like Kathy McInnes puts a mark in a school district that lasts for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go out and try to find someone to take her place, someone told me a long time ago, look, you just try to find someone to fill her shoes. And I think we've done that and beyond with the two people I'm going to recommend to you this evening and you will vote on shortly. I have been inspired in different ways by both applicants, their focus on students and our community, and pushing our building to the next level is remarkable, quite frankly. So both of them are on the agenda, and I can talk more about them later. We have a couple resignations, retirement, including Aaron Peitzmeyer. I know mm-hmm. you guys have talked and asked right. about him quite frequently. Mm-hmm. He will be moving to a disability status. So mm-hmm. for your knowledge, that means we maintain a position for him in the organization if and when he could return in the future. I think it's up to 3 years. Okay. So that's why it reads the way it does. Mm-hmm. We have a couple overnight trips. We have a second read of policies. You also have a draft calendar mm-hmm. that Jonathan and team have spent hours working on. One thing that is different in the calendar than years past is I've met with Tina LaRocque from the Board of Elections, and they are interested in using just the high school, not any of our other buildings, for elections. And so in trying to put a calendar together, it created lots of hiccups. So what we're going to attempt to do on, I think it is
November 5th, I think. Would it be the Tuesday?
It's marked. No, it's the spring of this
month. Okay.
I think it's the 10th, March 10th. Grades 9 through 12 will be doing our first ever Beyond the School Day learning experience. So we'll expect all high school students, Tri-Academy, early college, and high school to engage either in a community service project with their teacher or a group from school. A mentoring day, a shadowing day, some kind of learning experience that is taking place outside of the school. So it won't be mm-hmm. a student day. It will be a teacher day, either PD, or they can go on site with their student. So we want that to be around passions. It's aligned to personalized learning and, you know, kind of getting engaged with what students are interested in and bringing those cohorts together. So that day will be it will be our first attempt at it, but it seems to make a lot of sense with what we're trying to do and right. makes our building available in partnership with the Board of Elections. That's the only right. really significant change in the calendar.
Okay. That's good. Good news. Because
mm-hmm. there's a little bit different way of handling snow days.
Right. Yeah. It just right. doesn't work out the same. Right, with makeup opportunities. Yeah. So the makeup day is marked on the calendar.
Right.
God like bless one. Jonathan. This has been the demise of his life for about the past month. He always comes in and he's like, calendar. And then we meet for a while. So it just didn't work out as nicely as it has in past calendars. So that looks a little bit different. But
yeah. Okay.
I still like the idea of placing importance on education, of trying to make make up the educational opportunities for right. kids as early as possible.
That's the goal. If you looked, it puts graduation back to Memorial Day weekend. It's just kind of, as you know, when dates fall compared to the years prior. So.
Okay. And just a quick, the second read of the policies, you alluded to the fact that there one of the policies in there is about our business advisory council. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have the option to partner with your ESC.
Yes.
And so that's the direction that our policy goes. So I guess my only comment would be that we'll need to kind of talk about timing of reports and, you know, when they have those meetings, making sure that we're updated on those reports. So,
sure.
Really, other than that.
Well, I'll always do that through my updates to you.
Right.
We can do those publicly
right.
as well. And really, it's already work that is taking place, so it makes a whole lot of sense
right.
With our work with Compact, with Columbus State, and ESC
right.
as well.
There'd be a lot of redundancy if everybody had their own.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Correct.
And I like the fact that it's not just Marysville
right.
or Union County, but it's a more regional connection
right.
in terms of workforce development. We're looking at, you know, we've got a lot of people that work close to home, but we also have a lot of people get up in the morning and drive 40 minutes
right.
you know, get someplace else. So, you know, what are the skills and talents that you're going to need to work, not just in the immediate locale, but in a broader location?
Right. Okay. Well, that's anxious for, okay.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Then I'm ready for a motion, or for a roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
All right, so now it's my privilege to introduce Ken Chafin, who will be our new early college high school principal. I think most of you know Kenny. I always call you Kenny. Do you prefer Ken?
Either way,
Kenneth?
Is great.
I
think it was an attempt to look more mature.
Okay. So certainly in history, Ken has helped on levy campaigns when I first came in the door and really didn't know anyone, and we struggled through everything together. It's been a pleasure really as an outside educator to watch him mature from roles from Worthington and then on to another place north of Columbus. where he might work for someone who used to work here. But certainly, you know, Ken came through very clear in his interview around his passions around student-centeredness and personalized learning and many of the things that we're working on. He doesn't even know, but after he announced to students at his school that he would be coming here pending your approval, of course, a student from his school reached out to me and sent me an email about what a gem we were getting in Mr. Chafin. So, you know, if it doesn't come from the words of our kids, you know, it was priceless. So, Ken, I'll let you have the opportunity to say a few words if you'd like.
Sure. Wow, thank you. You know, this is a real honor. And you got me choked up. it's a huge honor. I was listening, I think it was Zane Shreve, mm-hmm. talk about coming full circle, and this is our old elementary school. And actually, my wife Liz, was his third grade teacher here at East Elementary. So the last memory I have in this building, though, was really cool. We had a school slogan contest, and this was about 30 years ago. But one of my classmates won. I would love to tell you that it was my slogan that won, but it wasn't. His name is Scott Arms. And the slogan that won that year and was our slogan for many years ahead was today's learners, tomorrow's leaders. And so I take that really personal. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to partner with Jody. We're good and great are the enemy. We're excited to really do some great things for kids in early college high school and excited about the vision of the district. So thank you.
It would also be my pleasure to kind of reintroduce. Everyone knows Jody around here. But, you know, Jody, there wasn't another assistant principal that was going to fill that spot. It was Jody's spot. I mean, Jody certainly has been, since the onset of the building, one of the forward thinkers, one of the people who pushed other teachers to think differently and pushed other teachers to be better teachers. And the blend of the two of them in that building, I told them both, it's going to be lights out. I could not be more excited for our students and for our staff and for our community partners to bring the two of you together. So, Jody, you're welcome to...
I just want to thank you for making it possible for me to do this. I deeply love Marysville. I deeply love our building. And it was like the first conversation when Ken and I sat down that we could tell that, like, at least I could tell. I'm going to assume he felt it too. that we just really complement each other's personalities. Uh-huh. We have a lot of differences, but we could tell that, like, that core philosophy of kids first and really thinking about what's next. And those, I think, really drive both of us pretty seriously in our careers. So I agree. I am, like, beyond excited, because I think you should definitely keep an eye out on the early college high school. I think we're going to be doing some really exciting stuff.
I'm just looking forward to some musical YouTubes, maybe, coming out of that building.
Yeah.
See, talented musicians.
Yeah.
They
can get some
as well.
Competition going, right?
Yeah, yep. So, well, and we're just thrilled to have you stay with our staff, join our staff. Couldn't be happier. So,
thank you.
Okay. I think we are now to the point. Comments and questions from board members. Mr. Smith.
So that this meeting ends hopefully before 9 o'clock, I sent all of you my legislative report. It was intended only for me to read, so all of the grammar and misspelling,
okay,
and all that kind of stuff, please overlook.
Okay.
I said a couple of things earlier. Really appreciate Jonathan and Diane making sure that the community had an opportunity, parents had an opportunity to come in and talk about, express concerns, raise questions about school safety, because that's clearly our number one. We had a great example tonight with, the focus on safety with the bus accident and so forth. So I also want to again compliment Senator Burke. He has marvelous to work with, listens, asks good questions, and we have had some times when he'll come in and we'll talk about things, and he'll say, "Well, I didn't know that," and I say, "Well, yeah, this is what's going on," and hopefully, long after I'm gone, one or more board members can have a good relationship with members of our legislature, because I think it is important for the legislators to see the school board as a resource for them to be able to get information and to draw on as they go through their legislative challenge. I know we're coming up on the end of the year. We're coming up on tons of testing. So good luck to all the kids. Good luck, even more luck to all the administrators, teachers. I'm trying to get through that part of it. I'm looking for some exciting results.
Very good. Community coffees, next one is April 14th. It's Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's at Fifth Street Cafe. And we'll have two board members there to chit-chat with you. I want to make an open invitation to any, members of the community that would like to come in, call your friends. And we want to try and build that activity a little bit. The May community coffee will be on the 12th, same location. Our next special board meeting is April 12th, where we'll recognize the Good Apple Awards. And that's kind of a lengthy process because we have so many wonderful volunteers in the district. Our regular board meeting will be May 17th. And,
April 26th. Yeah.
Monday, April 23rd at the Early College High School, there's a thank you luncheon to spotlight the internships that the students have done. And I know that we've all been invited. That's a great time for staff members and community members to go in and hear about the experiences that the young people have had. April 10th, the stadium preview at the high school. And I think Sue covered everything else.
Okay, thank you very much for hosting us tonight. That was just awesome. It's so neat to be a part of being able to individualize these kids all the way around, that what makes some click that others don't click, and to see them grow in their own skin, in who they are, is amazing. So thanks to you guys, thanks to Diane. I just think it's awesome to see this happening. Congratulations and welcome aboard. So look forward to working with you guys. And that's it.
Right. The Early College High School is one of the gems and jewels of this district, and we are so happy to have you two as leaders of that, and you have our support. Congratulations and welcome. Thank you for hosting us. Public schools have the charge and the responsibility of educating every single child. That's not so easy to do, but you guys are doing it. really appreciate it. And we saw some great examples of that tonight, so thank you. Thank you so much for that. I also just wanted to mention the New York trip. Thank you for chaperoning.
That was a great time.
I was told I was not allowed to chaperone because my stepdaughter was on the trip. And she told me, do not ruin it for me. So I didn't get to go to New York this time. So thank you for making sure they got back safe.
Todd.
Just congratulations to Kenny and Jody. Kathy was one of my favorite principals to work with, still is one of my favorite principals to work with, so obviously big shoes to fill there, but looking forward to working with you guys as well. Also, congratulations to Ashley and her team, just really, transforming lives. So, for me, it's just fun to be part of something like that where, it just kind of puts a purpose to the numbers sometimes, so thank you. And then I've said it before, and Diane doesn't have to pay me for this unless you want to, but, I think Diane could have, probably just sat on her laurels with the early college high school, floated through for 10 years just on that, but, she's got another home run with Tri-Academy. Yes.
Let me start with, if he tells you no, come to me. The principals learn that pretty quickly. I didn't realize that was a strategy until I heard, go ask mom, she'll say yes. Ashley, Chris, and Jen, I wrote some things down because I don't want to get too emotional, but in my own practice as an educator, I've always been a champion of the underdog. And I sit here today in awe. I mean, fantastic. I'm so proud of I had this weird thought, and you guys have made it this amazing place for kids, and they love it. That's love and passion and hope, and there's no doubt that every kid, at least we heard tonight, this sense of hope for not just school, but life and a future, and that's you. My words are, it's all of you. I said all three of you. My words don't encompass what my heart feels tonight. It's amazing work. Amazing work.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to do it.
I love it.
Thanks a lot. How am I supposed to yell after that? Woo! I know. I mean, it's been a tough meeting tonight because because everything's, it's just very uplifting. I told Ashley when I came in, my parents are visiting, and I was telling them where the meeting was going to be, and I was crying to them then. So, anyways, just a lot of exciting stuff, because I was looking back at your goals, 2016-17, and it was to collaborate with the leadership group, to investigate some opportunities for taking care of our underserved kids. And look at this. It's just... it's what we're all about. I mean, the whole personalized learning, we see it throughout the district, but you guys are such an amazing example. And so we appreciate it. And just thank you for what you're doing. I just hope I want that barber to, love learning. I think he does, and he just doesn't want to say it. So maybe. I don't know. There's some doubt there.
He just said he doesn't like school.
Right, he doesn't like school. But, yeah, I know it is different. And I think that's what you kind of see them coming to, realizing that maybe they put a bad label on school. But it's so much more than that when you have the support and the relationships. So. That's great.
Otherwise, can we give the Chapin kids some cookies?
I know. Oh, yeah. You guys, yes. We do. We have to thank.
You guys hungry?
Yes. You guys did a wonderful job at the meeting tonight. Thanks. Treats. How about a motion? How about a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Powers?
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and our meeting.